find out where the music takes Montreal's Rachel Perry on the next Beat to Three. And the trumpeter blows the roof off the joint, backed by her quintet. Plus tracks from Marisa Bossi, Isotope 217, and Olin Sale. Beat 3, Music Beyond Boundaries for a Digital World.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518- 622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Endless Garden in Hudson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
This is Temer with the WGXC News Update. Go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories. Kinderhook couple brandished a gun at protesters walking past their house July 11th, and after 45 minutes left with police. Hudson Mayor Kamal Johnson, who is also a volunteer programmer at WGXC, attended the protest and posted video of some of the incident on Facebook and this explanation of what happened.
At the tail end of the march, you know, a gentleman came outside. He was trying to, just rile everybody up. He was throwing a ton of bad language, and I couldn't really hear too much of what he was saying because everybody was chanting so loud. So a few people stopped and were just kind of looking at him, and he just continued to yell, and everybody just started pushing everybody along to say, like, you know, don't even bother with him, ignore him, ignore him, keep it going. And just out of nowhere, he just yelled to his wife, go get my gun. So she runs inside, so everybody's like, did he just say go get his gun? So she runs inside. Meanwhile, I have to tell you that there was officers at the protest in front of the march and in back of the march, you know, helping move things along. So when she ran in, she came out with the gun, started waving it towards the crowd, and, handed it to him. The officer, because this was at the tail end, got out of his car, and he was looking to see what was happening. So people were like, yeah, he just, you know, pointed his gun at. When he found out there was an officer there, he hands the gun back to the wife. She runs inside, and, the officer follows her inside, comes out about 3 or 4 minutes later, and he's holding the gun. So he brings it to the car. I approach the officer, and I say to him, what's going to happen now? Because, like, do you know if that's a legal gun or not? And he says to me, I have no idea. I said, so why are you out here with talking to us with the gun, and, you know, he's still inside?
Johnson reported that police brought the couple to a police car without handcuffs about 45 minutes after the incident and then drove away. It is unknown whether they were arrested or were just being questioned. WGXC will update this story when more information becomes available. Nora Mishenek is reporting for Columbia Green Media that the Columbia County Board of Supervisors voted by an overwhelming majority to keep police officers in the county schools. At the same time, the board's Health and Human Services Committee has agreed to temporarily halt in-person mental health counseling for students at the county's 6 school districts. All supervisors present at the July 8th virtual meeting voted in favor of maintaining the Cops in Schools program, with the exception of Hudson 4th Ward Supervisor Linda Mussman. The county put in roughly $189,000 toward the school resource officer program last year, while the district's cumulatively contributed $240,000. Columbia County Sheriff David Bartlett spoke about the program at the board's Public Safety Committee meeting June 16th. Deputies who serve as school resource officers become part of the school community and are, quote, more than just cops, unquote, the sheriff said. Quote, the kids actually flock to the deputies and go to them for help and mentorship, unquote, Bartlett said during the meeting. Funding the program is not an issue, Bartlett said, noting that the officers are there to protect, not police, the school community. Quote, you can't really put a price on safety, unquote, he said. Paul Nelson is reporting for the Times Union that Schenectady County State Supreme Court Justice Michael Cuevas, July 10th, granted Schenectady County's request to temporarily close down Bumpy's Polar Freeze in the Woodlawn neighborhood of Schenectady, according to County Attorney Chris Gardner. Quote, if he tries to keep it open, then we can have the county sheriff's office close it down, unquote, said Gardner. Gardner is referring to Bumpy's owner David Elmendorf, who has refused to close despite being cited for health and safety violations. Elmendorf, who has mostly kept the shop open despite being ordered by the county to shut down, could also be cited for contempt of court. The county requested a temporary injunction to have the ice cream shop padlocked because it posed an, quote, imminent threat to public health, unquote. According to the paper submitted by the court by Gardner's office, Elmendorf has repeatedly refused to allow county health employees onto the State Street property to inspect the place, and the restaurant is not complying in any way with the state regulations intended to control the spread of coronavirus. Elmendorf has been arrested twice, including for allegedly pointing a pellet gun at a man and a woman who were part of a protest outside Bumpy's after racist text messages attributed to Elmendorf went public. His attorney has said his client is not a racist, arguing that he is being unfairly targeted by the county and others who want to see him go out of business. Read more about the story in the Times Union. Amelia Teasdale is reporting for the Columbia paper that the Ichabod Crane School District is taking the first steps towards formulating a plan to reopen this fall. The district asked parents and guardians to complete an online planning survey for the 2020-2021 school year by July 9th. According to a statement posted to the district website, over the coming weeks, newly appointed Superintendent Suzanne Guntlow, quote, will be collaborating and communicating with all district stakeholders, parents and caregivers, staff, teachers, administrators, board members, and health and safety officials to create a safe and effective learning environment for students to return to this fall, unquote. Guntlow assumed the role of superintendent on July 1st. Her online communique to the school community says the district is anticipating guidance on reopening from the governor's office, the State Department of Health, and the State Education Department. Quote, in anticipation of these decisions, we are in the process of creating a school reopening task force and five subcommittees, academics, health and safety, operations and athletics, social, emotional wellness, and communications, unquote. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper. And Nick Reisman is reporting for New York State of Politics that 60% of New Yorkers approve of the job Governor Andrew Cuomo is doing, according to a Marist College poll released last week. The job performance approval score is the highest Cuomo has received since taking office in 2011 and represents a sharp increase from a 38% approval rating in March 2019. 29% of respondents believe Cuomo is doing an excellent job, while 31% say he's doing a good job. Regionally, he is most popular in New York City, where 67% of voters approve of the job he is doing. 55% of upstate voters polled say he is doing a good or excellent job. In the same poll, half of those surveyed say it is a bad idea to fully reopen public schools for in-classroom instruction, while 40% support the idea. 10% remain unsure. The poll of 586 registered voters was conducted from July 6th through July 8th and sponsored by NBC4 New York. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics, and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a partly sunny Sunday with a high near 83. Sunday night, there is a higher chance of rain, a 30% chance of showers, mainly after 9 p.m. The cloudy skies should be overhead with a low around 63. Then Monday, showers are likely. There is a 60% chance and possibly thunderstorms after 2 p.m. Mostly cloudy skies again with a high near 77. Low around 60 Monday night with a 30% chance of rain. Tuesday, again, there are scattered showers possible, but it'll be partly sunny with a high near 77 and a low around 57. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
WGXC is always looking for new programmers to volunteer at your community radio station. Email info at wgxc.org if you have all sorts of terrific music you want to share with your friends and neighbors, or if you want to join in the greater community conversation on the radio at 90.7 FM. Programmers learn how to do their own radio show and podcast, and how to make audio adventures interesting for listeners. You can call the WGXE Hudson studio at 518-697-7400 or email info@wgxe.org if you're interested in hosting a program or working with others on or off the air on WGXE.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Stephanie Fleischman of Columbiaville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
I love books. Do you love books? Books are great. Read more books. Listen to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM. Hooray!
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I am 18, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Mishuda, and I'm 18, and I'm also from Hudson.
Hi, I'm AJ. I live in Elizabeth, and I'm 9 and a half, and I'm hopefully going into a school whose name shall not be named because Mom told me not to for some reason.
Okay. And we have a special guest with us today. What's your name?
Mattia.
And how old are you?
I'm 6. Now it's... And soon I'm going to be 7 when school opens.
Oh, great. Thanks for joining us today. And you have your sister, Mashuda, and your brother, Fahim, are both radio co-hosts of ours. It's nice of you to join today. We're going to talk about some books because that's what we do every week. We talk about books.
It's very fun.
Let's jump right into it. So I have a book to share.
Okay.
I have many books to share, actually. I have a whole bookshelf full of books. So it's hard for me to choose just one each day, but I think that I'll get, my book, and it is called Hot About Cake by Christina Kelsey. It's more like a cookbook, but that counts.
It is a book.
And there are pictures of truffles. Ooh, and one of my favorites.
Are truffles cake?
They're like small cake balls.
Oh, okay.
And cake pops are the same thing, but just 1 second. Mint chocolate chip molten microwave mug cake. It looks delicious.
I don't even like mint, and that looks delicious.
So it's a cookbook with different types of cakes?
Molten chocolate smoke cake, chocolate goodness, strawberry sand, no. Ooh, layer cakes, one of my favorites.
Mm. Look, have you made any of the cakes?
Imagine a whole 2 full pages that are filled with different kinds of cakes.
Whoa. AJ is showing us a 2-page
spread. I got this as a present from my friend, because she has one. There's cookies and cream, and there's pancake layer cake. Well, there's a lot of pumpkin pie layer cake. Also, each step to make different parts takes at least an hour or two, and they're like 6. And there's an upside pineapple cake, a popcorn layer cake, a cake with popcorn in between it, which I
never heard of that. Weird.
Those are delicious. A layer cake, and those are just a couple of the cakes that I love in this book. I love eating and baking, and this is my best book ever. I really wish that I could just take one of the pictures out and eat it, especially that melted chocolate thing, whatever.
Don't eat the book. I want to mention how much I love cookbooks, although I rarely cook things from them.
You just like looking at the pictures?
I love looking at the pictures, and I get really upset when a cookbook doesn't have a lot of pictures. Like, if a cookbook doesn't have a picture for almost every recipe, then it just seems like such a waste. And I think it's helpful, too, because sometimes you're making something and you're not quite sure what they mean by the directions, but if you have, like, a visual to help you along, it can be very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But I maybe make something from a cookbook or from a recipe at least once a month. Otherwise, I just cook. I just go for it. But that sounds really good. I don't have cake very often.
Yeah, me too.
What is your favorite kind of cake?
Chocolate or Black Forest.
And my favorite cake is chocolate and rainbows.
Ooh. Like rainbow sprinkles? Or rainbow
Rainbow cake and rainbow sprinkles and chocolate sprinkles and chocolate cake.
Whoa. That sounds really good. How about you, Amelia? Do you have a favorite kind of cake?
Oh, cheesecake.
It's a different kind of cake.
I think it's not a cake made out of cheese. That would be weird.
That would be weird.
I guess if you really like cheese. I don't know what my favorite cake is. I tend to like a more of a coconut or like a carrot cake or banana-based cake. Like, I like that kind of flavor more than chocolate usually. Although I do like a good chocolate cake too. Don't get me wrong. There's very few cakes I don't like. But anyways, we can move on from the cake book. As lovely as it is. How about Amelia? What did you want to talk about today?
Well, now I need to shift my focus because I was going to say something about cookbooks since we were on that topic.
Oh, you can.
I have a cookbook upstairs that's like, it's a Christmas cookbook, so it's a bit out of season, but it's called the Christmas Cookie Field Guide, and it has a whole bunch of cookies you can bake for Christmas, such as like bourbon balls, and my favorite is something called the Namino Bars or Magic Cookie Bars, which is the best, and I'm only allowed to make them around Christmas because otherwise I will eat them constantly. They are so good. But you take like graham crackers and a graham cracker and like butter mixture, and then you layer that on the bottom, and then you put chocolate chips and coconut and, oh, I know I'm forgetting something. I'm forgetting an ingredient, but it's like a layer of chocolate chips, a layer of something, and a layer of coconut. And then you pour sweetened condensed milk all over it, and you bake it, and you let it set, and it's the best thing ever. It's so good.
That sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
And did you have a book, aside from that book, that you wanted to talk about today?
Yes.
We're just going to talk about cookbooks today.
I was thinking about cookbooks a lot, but I started the next book in the short story series I'm reading right now of horror. It's called Fetch, and so far it's pretty good. I've only made it through the first story. But it's very interesting.
And I saw your dad started reading them too.
Yeah, my dad read the second story in the first book today and he likes it.
So you got some spooky stories.
Mm-hmm. They're very fun to read.
And who are those by again?
They're by, this one's written by two people named Andrea Wagner and Carly Ann West. So that's two authors.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I'll be curious to hear which one's your favorite, because I know you're committed to reading the short stories in these three books.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have to report back at some point.
Yeah.
Let us know what your favorite story of all was. So Ms. Shuda, what did you want to talk about today?
Do you guys know Hunger Games, the book Hunger Games? So, you know, when I was in sixth grade, we had to read the Hunger Games, but I never got a chance to read the other series. So like I'm reading Catching Fire and I started reading it, but I couldn't resist. I watched a movie, but like I'm not done reading the book yet. But to be honest, I will say the movie so far, like I think the movie is good, but then I didn't realize that like the movie is exactly like the book. So basically it's spoiled for me, but I loved it. And so I'm actually, so after reading Catching Fire, I'm going to read Mockingjay. And then there's also a new book came out. It's called The Ballad of Songbird. And it came out like this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that one's a prequel. So it takes place before the Hunger Games. I think it's when President Snow is young, maybe when he's a teenager. I haven't read it yet. I bought it like right when it came out, and then I haven't had time to read it yet. Or I guess I've had time. I've chosen to read other things instead. But
yeah, I really hope there's a movie to it.
Yeah, that could be fun. I liked those movies a lot. I did like the books better than the movies, but I thought they did a really good job of staying true to the books, but sort of condensing the story in a way, because you have to do that when you make a movie.
Yeah, and Jennifer Lawrence, like, she's a really good actress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought they were well cast overall. Like, all of the characters really suited.
But I don't like Peter.
You don't like Peter?
No, I mean, honestly, like, I think...
The character or the actor?
No, the character. Yeah. I feel like she's always saving him, and then, like, she could have saved so many people, but then she puts others in risk when she's saving him. I mean, I don't know. Like, I just feel like, you know how, like, you know the other characters, like, they are always saving themselves. They're responsible. But, like, I feel like he's always, like, you know, putting himself at risk.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? That's my judgment. But, yeah.
Okay. Fatia, what book have you been reading lately?
I don't really like books, but I make more books. Do you know I love art?
You love art?
Yeah. And I make everything to art. I make everything
at art. Yeah, cool. She writes her own book. And like she makes her own picture books.
Oh, cool. So you like to make books more than you like to read them?
I mean, I hate reading books.
I think you might be reading the wrong books.
No,
I there's some really good ones.
I agree. Yeah.
But that's cool. What kind of books do you make? Can you tell me about one you've made?
Well, I make rainbow books. I make all kind books. If I want to make rainbow books, I go ahead and do it. I make big books, small books, medium books, all size books. I want papers and glue. Yes, it's. Do you know I got a rainbow notebook, and I made it into a notebook, into a book.
So, what's a rainbow book like?
Like, there's plenty of rainbows stuff. Like, there's rainbows, there's rainbow people in there, and rainbow houses, and rainbow suns, and plenty stuff that's rainbow.
What does a rainbow person look like?
So a rainbow person's got rainbow hair and rainbow makeup too. They got rainbow makeup all over their face.
Cool. So is their skin tone like rainbow colors, or is their skin tone like skin tones?
The skin tones is skin tones.
Oh, okay. I was picturing rainbow people having like red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple skin.
Oh my gosh. Like that reminds me of that book. Do you remember the book A Bad Case of the Stripes?
Yeah.
That book, like,
I'm gonna get a lot, like 2 bucks of it.
Okay. We're gonna have a little show and tell over the radio. Okay,
well, the book Bad Case of the Stripes, like, actually, like, legitimately scared me when I was a child, and I don't know why. The illustrations were like really uncanny to me. I remember, like, vividly one illustration where she, like, turns into her bedroom, and, like, the bed is her mouth and her tongue, and it, like, freaked me out a lot when I was little.
Whoa.
And it is a children's book, but that illustration, like, freaked me out.
Yeah, I can't remember if I've read that one, but the cover was definitely in my head when she mentioned rainbow people.
I got 3 books.
Do you want to show us your books?
Are you ready to see him?
Okay, so we're going to do a little show and tell with one of Fatia's picture books. And since our radio listeners can't see it, do you know, I will try to share a picture of it.
Yeah, okay, so this is how the rainbow house. And so there's plenty of rainbow stuffs here. I mean, this is not rainbow sun because I want to make to live in the little Nambler, because I thought I was going to make this into a human, but I made it into like
a normal sun
instead.
Why is one person frowning and everyone else smiling?
Yeah, that's supposed to be all of us, like our family, and we're enjoying the Rainbow House, and that's a tree.
Is one person not enjoying the Rainbow House? Because one person has a upside down.
Yeah, they're not, because, I mean, because it's, this person's grumpy because it doesn't like it. That's why. It just like boring colors and stuff. Like mama trees and mama sun, like these birds stuff.
So who are the characters?
So that one person's grumpy because they're like, it's too much rainbow.
All about the family. So this is the dad, our dad, and this is the mom.
Oh, she has a little, is that a little heart on her?
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah, it's a heart on her.
Okay.
Since I live for the most at the family.
It's very nice.
And that's my little brother. And my big brother is Dave. And that's where Mashuda is.
Oh, and I'm grumpy.
Poor Mashuda's grumpy.
Okay.
Because she didn't get to talk to you guys.
Aw.
Okay.
Funny.
And that's me. And, like, these are the more hearts. There's more hearts I added. And guess what? These are stickers. I'll show you more about the stickers. Yes, this is stickers.
Oh, so you have some fun stickers that you put on. That's very nice.
I put a lot of stickers on.
Great.
I got more stickers downstairs.
And then she has, I think, more.
Yeah, more.
Oh, so you got some words, too. Yeah. Oh, wow. Some beautiful, beautiful rainbow pictures in this book. That one's very abstract. I like it. Very colorful.
And she draws more.
Wow.
Loves, like, yeah.
Nice.
And then she draws lollipops.
It's very creative.
Now we're enjoying lollipops.
Lick them up!
Ooh, and a flower. Yeah. There's so much that you can do with rainbow art.
Ooh.
Wow, cool.
What are we doing here?
Okay, this is the princess cast. This is where we live in a new house, but it's not a new house. It's a castle. I made a castle. This time, all of us is fairies this time.
Very creative.
And there's, I think this
one. Okay.
Oh, the sun.
I didn't finish this, but I'm going to finish it. I'm going to show you guys, like, maybe tomorrow I'm going to show to you
next week. You can show them next week.
Yeah, it's a work in progress.
Yeah, next Friday.
Maybe Mashuda can send me a picture of it.
Yeah.
And then I can share with everybody. Thank you for sharing that. It's beautiful. Maybe someday you will make picture books that end up in a library.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome for coming.
So I'm going to share a book that I read recently that had been on my list to read for a long time, and I just finally got around to it. It's called Kiss Number 8. It's by Colleen A.F. Venable and Ellen T. Crenshaw. And I'm going to read the description for it. Mads is pretty happy with her life. She goes to church with her family and minor league baseball games with her dad. She goofs off with her best friend, Kat, and has thus far managed to avoid getting kissed by Adam, the boy next door. It's everything she hoped high school would be, until all of a sudden it's not. Her dad is hiding something big, so big it could tear her family apart. And that's just the beginning of her problems. Mads is starting to figure out that the reason she doesn't want to kiss Adam is because the only person she wants to kiss is Kat. Just like that, Mads' tidy little life has gotten epically messy and epically heartbreaking. And when your heart is broken, it takes more than an awkward, uncomfortable, tooth-clashing, friendship-ending kiss to put things right again. It takes a whole bunch of them. And it's a graphic novel. It's black and white, which, you know, I usually like my comics with color, but this one, it didn't bother me at all that it was missing color. In fact, I didn't really think about it until just now when I opened the book to show you it. but it's a very nice comic. I like the front page. It shows the end pages have her kisses 1 through 8. Mm-hmm. And the book actually starts off kind of counting down those first 8 kisses. And then it jumps back in time a little bit. And not all the way to the start, but it sort of picks up the story before kiss number 6, I think. And so,
why isn't it counting that?
Counting what?
The kisses.
I don't know. I think because kiss number 8 meant a lot to her. And so she's counting.
Shouldn't the first one mean a lot?
Maybe it did too. But
by the 8th one, I would have been annoyed.
Well, I guess each person's different. But yeah, it's a very nice book. And I like the mix of the family mystery where she's trying to figure out what's going on with her dad and her mom. And then sort of the stuff that's going on with her and her friend group and her romance, romantic life.
Yeah, I'm really eager to know what's the secret of like that her father is hiding.
Yeah, and I feel like sometimes when I read books that are meant for middle school or teens, which this one's meant for teenagers, sometimes when there's a mystery, I feel like sometimes I pick it up really early, and I don't know if that it's because I'm adult and I know certain things that like maybe a middle school or teenager wouldn't be as attuned to, or if they would as well, and it's just that the mystery isn't that mysterious. But I feel like this one, it took me a while to know exactly what was going on. So I think they did a good job of letting information out bit by bit. I mean, I did definitely figure it out before the main character did, but the readers let in on things that the main character isn't. I think they did a good job with that. And I thought the ending was very nice too, which I won't tell you what happens in the end, but the way they wrapped it up, I thought was very sweet.
What's the name of the book again?
It's called Kiss Number 8.
Very funny.
Good book.
And I have something to tell you. Did you know that movie that Mashuda tells, like, is it a movie that we watched, like, our mom and Mashuda and me, we watched it.
She's talking about the Hunger Games movie.
Oh, the Hunger Games movie? Yeah, I just rewatched that series recently. I hadn't watched it since it first came out, and then my husband
There's
and I
like
just
four
rewatched
episodes,
all three.
By the way,
or four. Yeah, speaking of book to movie adaptations, I haven't seen it yet, but there's a new Netflix series of The Babysitter's Club. And cool. I've noticed at the library that people have started borrowing The Babysitter's Club books again, so I think there might be some people watching them out there that are being inspired to read the books, which is pretty cool. I didn't actually watch that series or read that book series as a kid. My sister did. And I know now there's the comic book versions, which I think a lot of kids read.
Yeah.
Have you read Babysitter's Club?
I don't know that book.
You don't know that
book? I don't know that book. And are you home? Are you home?
No, she's in the library. See the library computer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm at the library.
Do you live at the library?
Yes. No, I don't.
Every day?
Library,
every day?
Almost every day, yeah.
You never go home?
I go home every day. I come to work almost every day, and I go home every day that I leave home.
She's asking that because we are all home, and she thinks that everything is closed.
So yeah.
Some people just gotta work.
That's true. But yeah. Does anyone have anything coming up this week that they're particularly excited about, or books or movies that they're excited to watch?
Like, I got one of those, like, yes, I have the soon I'm gonna make the biggest book ever.
Oh, yeah. How big is it going to be?
Like a big one, like the whole entire universe, like the whole, like almost the whole entire universe.
Whoa, that is pretty big.
That would take a lot of paper and a ton of trees.
Yeah, I hope we can afford the trees.
And we won't have enough seeds to plant new ones.
Oh.
Actually,
save the trees.
I blew it by 1,000,000 papers.
Whoa.
You're going to glue together all the paper in your house?
Yeah.
That'll take a lot of glue.
She's not really going to do it. She's just saying.
Yeah. So what about you, Mashuda?
But Mashuda's going to help me.
Oh, Mashuda's going to help you? That's very nice.
Mm-hmm. How are you going to fold it?
You don't understand. We're going to fold it like a notebook.
How are you going to get from one side to the other to be able to fold it?
She'll figure it out. She's very creative. You saw that book. Great. Well, we know that's what you're looking forward to this week. How about AJ?
Well, it's not even this weekend. It's tomorrow. Tomorrow, she's going to come and she's going to stay in her house. One of my friends, her name is Kadidra, and she's going to do my hair into dreadlocks, and I can't wait.
Cool. Sounds fun. Nice visit with friends. New hairdo.
She gets to stay with us as long as she wants. I mean, actually come into our house and sleep there and stay with us, and it'll be great.
Yay. Maybe you can make some cake together.
Cake!
How about you, Amelia?
I'm not sure what I'm going to be doing this week. I'm going to be going out to the drive-in with my friends tomorrow.
What are you seeing?
Jurassic Park and Jaws.
I was very excited when I saw the lineup. I haven't been yet, but I feel like right now with not much coming out in the movie theater, the first time they opened, they had most of the screens were newer movies, and then they had one screen that had kind of classics. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I would definitely want to go see the classics over the other ones.
Yeah.
But then I saw the lineup for last week, and I was like, oh, that looks good. I wouldn't mind seeing Goonies on a big screen. The drive-in.
Oh, but speaking of movies, did you guys see the commercial for Soul that's going to come out in November?
Mm-hmm.
So there was this guy who was a music teacher, and then because he loved music, he was going to a place, and then he got a gig, and then he fell down one of those sewer drains in the city, and then we see his soul falling down into some place, but then he realizes that he's dead, but in the trailer it says that he's not dead, he's just unconscious.
I remember this movie. I did see a trailer for it a while ago.
When I saw that trailer, it didn't go so well, because I was like, afterwards, because it was just like all of a sudden, and I couldn't get out of my mind what happened, and I was like, but now it's better.
Mashuda, do you have anything you're looking forward to this week, in addition to helping make the world's largest book?
I think I'm excited to start work soon. And I don't know.
She's gonna be super excited about work. and this is the college computer that we're like talking to you guys now.
Yeah, so I bought a laptop for college.
Oh, cool.
And yeah. Starting on that.
Nice. I don't know what I'm most excited for this week, but I've been reading a lot of really great books lately, and I'm really excited because through the library for a while we couldn't. You know, the library is closed, so I was limited to the books that I had at home and things that I could get as ebooks. And now I'm able to get books brought in through the library and to borrow books from the library. And it's very exciting. So I've been reading a lot and a lot of really good books.
Did you know I'm decorating my lag nails now?
Good to know. I couldn't tell because it's off screen. But we're about out of time for today. So we'll leave you with that mental image of Bhatia putting stickers on her leg. We hope everyone has a great week and reads lots of good books. Happy reading.
Bye.
Bye. Bucks, I think.
Skill, Chatham, Coxsackie, East Chatham, West Chatham, North Chatham, and Old Chatham.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Welcome all. My guest today is Allie O'Keefe, one of the organizers for the Mothers March Against Gun Violence, which is going to be held this Sunday at 3 p.m. starting at the Troy Riverfront Park. Welcome, Allie.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So, Allie, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I've lived in Albany. I moved here in 2005. I've been protesting for various things in the community and helping volunteer in the community probably since 2013. I am a mother. I have lost somebody to gun violence, a friend of mine, or actually a few friends. So I'd like to be involved in the community being a mom, and then also certain things like this are, you know, very touchy to me.
So what motivated you to organize and help organize this march? And you said you also did have some violence in your life.
So back probably 2000, oh Lord, it was probably 2006 and 2007. I know a couple of people that were murdered and lost their lives due to gun violence. What helped me get involved in this particular event is my friend Jessica Upton, who also helped coordinate this, and Tom Edwards, who also helped coordinate this. And we decided to come together after, you know, the gun violence in the past few weeks in the Capital Region and the Troy community has been extremely high. And we want to seek answers and we want to seek justice and funding and stuff like that.
So on the Facebook page for the event, it states, quote, "Mothers carry their children for months before they enter this world. We look to protect them by any means necessary," unquote. So talk about how, as a mother and other mothers you see, they try to protect their children. Do they tell them things? Do they say, don't go outside? Or holistically, what is that kind of protection you're talking about?
Personally, for me, as far as protecting my child, I try to keep her safe at all times in certain communities. I provide her with essentials as far as protection and shelter and love and care. I feel like no matter where we are or what we're doing, we're protecting our child to our best ability. Things have changed like an extreme amount since I was a child. And I mean, back in my day, I could walk to the neighbor's house and not feel as though something may happen. Whereas today, if a child steps out, they could be involved in a gun violence act.
Part of the march is going to go past the police station, and the march is demanding funding for a gun buyback program. What message would you like to send to Troy elected officials such as the mayor and the Common Council about reducing gun violence and trying to get funding for a gun buyback program?
So it's not just the gun buyback program that we're looking to seek funding for. We're also looking and advocating for either low cost or no cost programs for the children so that they don't resort to the streets where they feel like they need to fit in or that they actually fit in by becoming intertwined with gangs, running the streets, looking for acceptance and things of that nature. So we really are advocating strongly for, you know, again, like I said, the low or no cost programs that these children and even teens can go to and find some constructive resources.
Have you folks reached out to any organizations to help with that?
So about a week and a half ago, I reached out to Pastor Charlie Mueller, I'm sorry if I pronounced the name wrong, who is known in the Capital Region for doing gun buyback programs. My friend Jessica Upton also reached out to somebody involved in SNUG and spoke with them for a while, and they will be at the march on Sunday.
And so the march is then going to wind its way through sites where children have been shot. And that seems really emotional for a march, you know, and how are some of these families coping? Are they trauma counseling or are they still in the neighborhood? I mean, what have you heard?
So I know one of the mothers personally, she actually left the state and is currently with some family to help her get through this time. Some of the other parents, I'm not entirely sure how they're coping, but we want to stand in solidarity with them and let them know that we're doing our best as a community and the three of us, Jessica, Tom, and myself, to try and gain and seek justice for them and let them know that we're there for them.
Having, you know, a child, you know, dying before you can be, have a pretty heavy impact on a mother. And it's a big burden when a parent must bear when a child dies before them. Can you talk about that?
I personally can't relate to losing a child, but I know how traumatic losing a loved one can be. My child is here, and if I were to lose a child, I'm not exactly sure how I personally would cope for it or cope with it. But again, like I said, I know what it's like losing a loved one, although it's not somebody that I brought into this world, and it can be, you know, extremely traumatic losing anyone, let alone a loved one or a child.
So what are your thoughts on the lack of police and community input in resolving some of these unsolved murders? Because I understand that's one of the other key issues for this march.
So we're not exactly entirely sure whether they are or not doing any kind of research into them. But our biggest question is looking for proper funding so that if they're lacking those resources, that they're able to gain the funding for the resources to further investigate or reopen those investigations.
So are there a lot of unsolved murders in the Troy area, or?
I'm not entirely sure if there's a lot of unsolved murders. I know that a lot of these recent shootings, which some of them did lead to murders, there has not been a lot of people taken into custody, whether it was, you know, a lot of people that were doing these shootings or, you know, a couple of people that were doing these shootings, all the shootings. That's not something that we're aware of or that we know. So it's something that it really needs to be resolved. It needs to be looked into further. And that's why we're going to be going to the police station to talk to them and address them that, you know, the proper research into these things needs to come about.
And I think one of the nice things that you're trying to do, you know, and especially trying to show the community that, you know, you're supporting them, I understand that the march is going to be ending possibly with a community barbecue. That's great. Do you want to share anything on that and where will it be?
So we're looking to get a park permit. And if we're able to get the park permit, it would be at Powers Park. It is something that we will address at the beginning of the march. Jessica Upton is a longtime community resident of Troy, as long as Tom has a lot of involvement in the community. Jessica did move down south years ago, but she has made it doable to get up here for this march. So we're doing our best to go about it and get the permit. So we'll keep everyone informed.
So how did Jessica get involved and Tom? What brought them into this? What's their story?
So Jessica was born and raised in the community, and she and Tom have a long time relationship. They're very good friends that have helped each other over the years. I actually met Tom while doing the other marches and protests here in the Capital Region for various other reasons. And the reason why Jessica wanted to get involved is because she does know friends and family that have been impacted by the loss of family members and friends due to gun violence. And her community was seeking her to come and help.
So we're going to need to wrap up. Have you been getting a lot of feedback or response to this march coming up?
Yes, we've been getting lots of feedback, responses, donations. It was originally set for Saturday, but because Jessica is coming from out of the city and state, we pushed it back a day to just give her some extra time to come and get everything out and ready for Sunday.
Is there a site that people can get additional information or if they want to help?
So there's actually an event page on Facebook. It is the Mother's March Against Gun Violence at the Troy Riverfront. And then also Jessica Upton, Freedom Alley, and Tom Edwards on Facebook.
So again, everyone, it's the Mother's March Against Gun Violence to be held this Sunday at 3 p.m. starting at the Troy Riverfront Park. And I thank you so much, Allie, for spending the time with me today.
I appreciate you so much, Michelle, for having me on the show.
And this is Michelle Masurgeon for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
I love books. Do you love books? Books are great. Read more books. Listen to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM. Hooray!
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I am 18, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Mishuda, and I'm 18, and I'm also from Hudson.
Hi, I'm AJ. I live in Elizaville, and I'm 9 and a half, and I'm hopefully going into a school whose name shall not be named because Mom told me not to for some reason.
Okay. And we have a special guest with us today. What's your name?
Mattia.
And how old are you?
I'm 6. Now it's... And soon I'm going to be 7 when school opens.
Oh, great. Thanks for joining us today. And you have your sister, Mashuda, and your brother, Fahim, are both radio co-hosts of ours. It's nice of you to join today. We're going to talk about some books because that's what we do every week. We talk about books.
It's very fun.
Let's jump right into it. So I have a book to share.
Okay.
I have many books to share, actually. I have a whole bookshelf full of books. So it's hard for me to choose just one each day, but I think that I'll get, one second, my book, and it is called Hot About Cake by Christina Kelsey. It's more like a cookbook, but that counts.
It is a book.
And there are pictures of truffles. Ooh, and one of my favorites.
Are truffles cake?
They're like small cake balls.
Oh, okay.
And cake pops are the same thing, but just 1 second. Mint chocolate chip molten microwave mug cake. It looks delicious.
I don't even like mint, and that looks delicious.
So it's a cookbook with different types of cakes?
Molten chocolate cake, chocolate goodness, strawberry sand, no. Ooh, layer cakes, one of my favorites.
Mm.
Look,
have you made any of the cakes?
Imagine a whole 2 full pages that are filled with different kinds of cakes.
Whoa. AJ is showing us a 2-page
spread. I want to. Many, I got this cakes. As a present. From my friend, because she has one. There's cookies and cream, and there's pancake layer cake. Well, there's what? Pumpkin pie layer cake. Also, each step to make different parts takes at least an hour or two, and they're like 6. And there's an upside pineapple cake, a popcorn layer cake, a cake with popcorn in between it, which I've
never heard of that. Weird.
Those are the layer cake, and those are just a couple of the cakes that I love in this book. I love eating and baking, and this is my best book ever. I really wish that I could just take one of the pictures out and eat it, especially that molten chocolate thing, whatever.
Don't eat the book. I want to mention how much I love cookbooks, although I rarely cook things from them.
Just like looking at the pictures?
I love looking at the pictures. And I get really upset when a cookbook doesn't have a lot of pictures. Like if a cookbook doesn't have a picture for almost every recipe, then it just seems like such a waste. And I think it's helpful too, because sometimes you're making something and you're not quite sure what they mean by the directions. But if you have like a visual to help you along, it can be very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But I maybe make something from a cookbook or from a recipe at least once a month. Otherwise, I just cook. I just go for it. But that sounds really good. I don't have cake very often.
Yeah, me too.
What is your favorite kind of cake?
Chocolate or Black Forest.
And my favorite cake is chocolate and rainbows.
Ooh, like rainbow sprinkles?
Or rainbow actually, cake? Rainbow cake and rainbow sprinkles and chocolate sprinkles and chocolate cake.
Whoa, that sounds really good. How about you, Amelia? Do you have a favorite kind of cake?
I like cheesecake.
It's a different kind of cake.
Good thing it's not a cake made out of cheese. That would be weird.
That would be weird.
I guess if you really like cheese. I don't know what my favorite cake is. I tend to like a more of a coconut or like a carrot cake or banana-based cake. Like I like that kind of flavor more than chocolate usually. Although I do like a good chocolate cake too. Don't get me wrong. There's very few cakes I don't like. But anyways, we can move on from the cake book. As lovely as it is. How about Amelia? What did you want to talk about today?
Well, now I need to shift my focus because I was going to say something about cookbooks since we were on that topic.
Oh, you can.
I have a cookbook upstairs that's like, it's a Christmas cookbook, so it's a bit out of season, but it's called the Christmas Cookie Field Guide, and it has a whole bunch of cookies you can bake for Christmas, such as like bourbon balls, and my favorite is something called the Nanaimo Bars or Magic Cookie Bars, which is the best, and I'm only allowed to make them around Christmas because otherwise I will eat them constantly. They are so good. But you take like graham crackers and a graham cracker and like butter mixture, and then you layer that on the bottom, and then you put chocolate chips and coconut and, oh, I know I'm forgetting something. I'm forgetting an ingredient, but it's like a layer of chocolate chips, a layer of something, and a layer of coconut. And then you pour sweetened condensed milk all over it, and you bake it, and you let it set, and it's the best thing ever. It's so good.
That sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
And did you have a book, aside from that book, that you wanted to talk about today?
Yes.
We're just going to talk about cookbooks today.
I was thinking about cookbooks a lot, but I've started the next book in the short story series I'm reading right now of horror. It's called Fetch, and so far it's pretty good. I've only made it through the first story. But it's very interesting.
And I saw your dad started reading them too.
Yeah, my dad read the second story in the first book today and he likes it.
So you got some spooky stories.
Mm-hmm. They're very fun to read.
And who are those by again?
They're by, this one's written by two people named Andrea Wagner and Carlianne West. So that's two authors.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I'll be curious to hear which one's your favorite, because I know you're committed to reading the short stories in these three books.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have to report back at some point.
Yeah.
Let us know what your favorite story of all was. So Mashuda, what did you want to talk about today?
So like, do you guys know Hunger Games, the book Hunger Games? So, you know, when I was in sixth grade, we had to read the Hunger Games, but I never got a chance to read the other series. So like I'm reading Catching Fire and I started reading it, but I couldn't resist. I watched a movie, but like I'm not done reading the book yet. But to be honest, I will say the movie so far, like I think the movie is good, but then I didn't realize that like the movie is exactly like the book. So basically it's spoiled for me, but I loved it. And so I'm actually, so after reading Catching Fire, I'm going to read Mockingjay. And then there's also a new book came out. It's called The Ballad of Songbird. And it came out like this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that one's a prequel. So it takes place before The Hunger Games. I think it's when President Snow is young. Maybe when he's a teenager. I haven't read it yet. I bought it like right when it came out. And then I haven't had time to read it yet. Or I guess I've had time. I've chosen to read other things instead. But
Yeah, I really hope there's a movie to it.
Yeah, that could be fun. I liked those